Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is a very, very, very good friend of mine. We've been friends for a number of years. Former Miss England, a model.
Oh, very beautiful.
Oh, I'm not so much anymore. I'm past my best.
More beautiful every day. And mum to Cooper, it's Georgia Jones.
Yay!
So for anyone who doesn't know, our husbands are in a band together.
They are.
Yeah. So we know each other very well. We're part of the McFamily.
We are, aren't we?
How I like to describe it.
Yes. And I met you many, many years ago.
You did.
I think it was about 10.
And I can remember thinking, we talk about this quite a lot, and Georgia is deaf in one ear.
I am.
And I didn't know that, obviously, the first time that we met. And I can remember talking to you a few times that night, and you completely blanking me.
I'm mortified. Even now, thinking about it, it actually mortifies me that I ignored you.
I can remember thinking, oh, she's really nice when she's talking to me, but when she's not,
I came away thinking, right, I feel like I've made a really good impression on the girls. Brilliant. Like, they're all going to love me. Little did I know, I'd not been responding to you. I bet you were, like, rude.
No, I think, no. I think maybe because you and Danny had been out for a drink, so I thought maybe...
I was just a bit drunk.
But you're deaf in one ear because of something that happened to you as a child.
Yes. I had meningitis when I was 2. I lost my hearing completely in one ear. But it's not really affected me too much because obviously I've been like that since I was 2, so I don't really know any different.
Mm.
I just have to watch where I'm walking. A majority of people now know which side to walk on of me, apart from... my family members and Danny. I mean,
it's so funny.
The people that spend the most time with me are the people that know the least about my ear.
Whereas I'm really like, oh, we were at a table and dinner or something. I'm like, which ear? Where are we?
Yeah, I think you're one of the most conscious people of my deaf ear, actually.
I think because I had a lot of hearing difficulties as a child.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, and I know those frustrations and stuff.
Yeah.
So having that, when Cooper had his hearing test, did it make you emotional?
No, actually, it didn't.
Did it not? I really cried when Buzz had his hearing test.
Did
no,
you?
His hearing was okay.
I think I was really nervous about all of those tests because you never know whether they're going to be have full hearing. And actually, there was a point where after he'd had these tests, he wasn't responding to loud noises. So, like, something would happen and I would jump out of my skin. Cooper, just carrying on just as normal, not even a bat of the eyelid. I was like, oh, no, that's it, he can't hear. He definitely can't hear. He's deaf, completely deaf.
Did you get him retested or
anything? No, not straight away, but I did say I think we need to.
Yeah.
And anyway, then he eventually did start responding to things. I think he's just a bit slow off the mark.
Well, I guess as well, though, they kind of don't know to, like, turn around to noises.
No, I suppose not. I just thought there'd be a cry or something. But I think because when he was in the tummy, there were so many extremely loud noises going on outside of the womb.
Why was there loads of loud noises? What were you doing?
No.
You started drumming?
Danny would always play him his guitar and sing to him. Yeah. So...
Does he react now when Danny does it? Like, yeah. Does he?
Yeah, he does. And you know, it's so funny. There was someone on TV singing the other day whose voice is really similar to Danny's. And he stopped what he was doing and just watched the TV. I was like, oh, no, darling, that's not your dad.
Oh.
You've got it wrong there. But I think he thought, oh, that's Daddy on TV. Or if McFly or Danny's music's playing in the house, he will know. Like, he notices. And... he's so calm when Danny plays the guitar to him and sings. Like, he loves it. He'll just stop and listen. It's so sweet.
That's so lovely.
The boys like that with Tom.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are.
Well, they love McFly, don't they, the boys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Buddy as big?
He is. He is. But you know when you kind of like, I think there was a period of time where it was on a lot at home.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we haven't had it on as much lately.
Yeah.
But like, as soon as there is, we always find Buzz on Tom's piano.
And... Buzz has got rhythm, though.
Yeah.
Really got rhythm.
Yeah.
I hope
little
Cooper
band
does.
In the making.
I know. Need to get them all together. Lola can front it, can't she?
I think she can. I think she can. So let's talk about, obviously, you and Danny have been together a very long time.
Yes.
And you got married. Was it difficult deciding now's the time?
To get married?
No, to have a baby.
Oh, to have a baby.
Oh, and also, I guess another part of that is that you would have seen, because Izzy's been on, both shared our stories of like how long it's taken us to get pregnant, miscarriage and stuff.
Yeah.
Did that have an effect on, I guess you're going into it with your eyes a bit more open about what can potentially happen?
Yeah. Do you know, the majority of friends that have had babies have struggled to conceive. Mum had 3 miscarriages. Luckily, I was one of the middle ones.
Right.
So, so I was like, yay, we've got one. And then obviously you girls had a tough time of it. So I think in my head, it was a little bit like, it's probably going to take a long, long time. Mm. Nobody seems to be getting pregnant easily.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit worried on that side of things, thinking, God, it's going to take me a long time. I'm not getting any younger. But at the same time, I wanted to be ready. Like, you know, me and Danny are quite, probably out of the group, we're like the ones that go out the most.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? I guess because for us, like, our parties used to be going to the pub and all going around to one person's house.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, we never used to go out that much. And then obviously with rehab and stuff like that, it all sort of stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas that was still very much part of yours and Danny's life. A lot of your northern friends now live down here.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, you've still got that going on.
Yeah.
That was a massive part of your life.
Yeah, it was. And we were like, are we ready for that to stop? Like, are we ready to stop being selfish?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of it. Ultimately, you're giving up your life for another life.
Changing it.
Yeah, changing it dramatically. For those whole 4 years between getting married and having Cooper, people often do it fairly quickly after they get married. And we were like, oh, should we? Because everyone starts asking you, don't they? So when are you going to have a baby?
Oh, isn't it? As soon as you get together, oh, when are you going to get engaged?
Yeah.
When are you going to get married? When are you going to have a baby? Now you're probably getting, when are you going to have another one?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I need to fully heal before I even think about having another one, please. Can you just like...
I've still got fitness in my food.
I mean, I dread to think, what would happen if I had a... My mum was pregnant with me at this point. So when she said that to me, I said to her, oh, my God, I was an accident, wasn't I? And she went, no, no. She, like, went all shifty. I was like, Mum, was I an accident? And she's like, no, no, pet. And I was like, what do you mean, no? She's like, well, we weren't being careful. And I was like, oh, right, I see. Like, that was it. I think she was struggling so much conceiving.
Yeah.
She kind of just thought, well, it's not going to happen straight after I've had my sister.
Yeah.
Well, it did.
So well, that was obviously like on your mind that it might take a while, that, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. But at the same time, we wanted to be ready. I think that was more important than anything.
Yeah.
Being ready.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I knew as well that, you know, if it wasn't easy, there are things that can be done and help that you can get. So I knew there was that. Yeah. When we did start trying 4 years later, 3 years later, I just wasn't expecting it to be that easy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you think you're going to get pregnant immediately because you spend so long trying not to get pregnant.
Yeah.
So many people going, oh, if you miss that one pill, you'll get pregnant.
Yeah.
Or if you're sick or...
Well, we see them on TV or in magazines all the time.
Yeah, and they've come out in the toilet and they had no idea. I know. And so I thought, no, like... it's going to happen really easily or be really difficult.
Yeah.
So when it got to 5 months and nothing had happened, I was a bit like...
well, at what point do you kind of...
Yeah. I said to Danny, I said, for the first, like, 5 months, I want to just be totally relaxed about it.
Mm.
Obviously not take any form of contraception and just, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then we'll start doing it properly, like, you know, regimented. Then I'll get an app.
So you're just not trying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we knew we wanted to have a baby at that point. It got to that 5 months and I was like, right, I think I'm going to have to, like, start getting the app where it tells me when I'm ovulating and all those things so we can, like, properly do this now. And then it was just as I was thinking that when I fell pregnant. Thank goodness, yeah. So I didn't have to start timing Danny and be like, right, let's get home now because we need to have sex, please.
And you told Danny in the sweetest way you videoed it.
Yeah, and you.
Yeah, but I think, well, because his reaction was in that whole reaction video.
Yeah, his reaction was probably the weirdest one.
Oh, but so gorgeous. So for people that don't know, Georgia filmed the reaction of her and Danny telling everyone that you were expecting. And, oh, it was just so gorgeous.
Oh, it was so lovely. I mean, yours and the boys' reactions were probably one of the best.
Well, because you just started, you were like, I'm going to start vlogging. So I've got this camera and we're like, great. And then you were like, should we take a photo of us all together? And we have a breakfast club, which is when, you know, all the McFly family get together and... and we usually have a photo of us when we do that. So you wanted to take a photo and we're like, yeah, of course, that's just a typical thing, thinking it was on timer. And then I can't even remember what was said now, but we were like, what?
Daddy said we need to make room for one more or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you and Izzy just jumped about. It was so funny.
Even though you'd been married for 3-4 years by that point, that emotion, that shock, that happiness, that surprise. Do you know what I mean? It still felt like...
Yeah, it wasn't... It didn't feel like you were all expecting it.
No.
It didn't feel like Danny was expecting it. I mean, he was.
Oh, his wasn't reaction a surprise. Was so... It's so sweet.
I know. I mean, there was a lot of swearing. I don't think that was in it, but he swore a lot. But yeah, he just could not believe it. He was the same. He thought it was going to take a long time.
Yeah.
A long, long time.
Do you reckon, because Tom's reaction is always the same, do you reckon they're like, no more sex, but no
Well, that was Danny's decision, not mine.
Same!
Yeah!
I think all the boys have discussed this.
Well, no, Harry's the opposite.
Oh, really?
Harry wanted it. Danny, and obviously Tom, not interested.
No, there's something about poking the head of your unborn child.
Chance.
It's just
not
fun, is it?
I was like, don't flatter yourself. Come on.
So how was your pregnancy? Because obviously for you, you're a model.
Yeah.
And your body is your job.
Yes.
And watching that change, how did that play on your mind? Like, how did you get yourself around that?
It was quite hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I've always been very much in control of my body. You know, I work hard. I work out. I love working out. And that's kind of just me.
Yeah.
So I've always been in control of that. You know, if I've been out for the weekend and eaten loads and loads of unhealthy food, drunk loads, that week I'll make sure I have a really lovely healthy diet and work out.
Mm.
It's all about balance. And then when I got pregnant, I had zero control over what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I had no control over whether I swelled up, whether I had a wide bump, a long bump, what happened to my boobs. I mean, now, oh my goodness. So obviously I've stopped breastfeeding now. Yeah, so it was difficult in the beginning because I'd gone from having full control to zero control. Mm. But as it progressed, as the bump grew, I'd learned to love what my body was doing rather than be like, what's happening? This is not what should be happening to my body. But when I kind of got my head around that, it was a lot easier and I began to enjoy it. And I really, really enjoyed my pregnancy. I loved every second of being pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, and you did a lot of exercise in pregnancy as well,
did.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Which was great because you were sharing it as well.
Yeah.
It felt like other people could go, oh.
Yeah. And, you know, it kept me sane. Like, it kept a bit of me because obviously having a growing bump, work had to stop pretty quickly for me in terms of modelling.
Yeah.
Because when you've got like a semi-bump, obviously you're like, is she pregnant? Has she put on a few pounds? Yeah. Like, what's going on? And people don't book semi, like, you know, like 2 month or 3 month pregnant women. And then you get to the point where you have got a bump, but it's not quite big enough for pregnancy modelling.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you're perfect size for pregnancy modelling, but there might not be any jobs going on at that point. Or nowadays, which I think's really sad, is they use normal models and stick a bump on them.
I have seen on various websites this, and you can tell.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I've literally said to Tom, literally all the way down to her belly button, she had a flat tummy.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous because, like, I have to wear a fake bump before.
Yeah.
And they're awful. I mean, they're so not anything like what a bump is like. Mm. It's ridiculous. But I just don't know why they don't use... I mean, it's probably because they know that they're going to get a lot less shots from a pregnant woman because she's tired, she's heavy, she can't bend as easily. But I just think it'd be so much nicer seeing all these products on pregnant women.
Well, and I wonder, though, if part of it is because the reality of being pregnant, you're going to have swollen arms.
Yeah.
You're going to be swollen other places. So if they just like, actually, let's just get...
Yeah, but so what? Do you know,
if
I was looking at online at maternity clothes and the woman was definitely pregnant and maybe had swollen ankles, I'd be like, brilliant. I'm so glad they've used a model.
Well, it's like, so Rose, so your friend Rose models for Next, and seeing someone I know who's actually pregnant in those clothes, made me go, amazing,
Yay.
That's an actual pregnant person.
Yeah.
Whereas the person I know for sure, like, had a baby bump put on her, I was like, well, I'm not going to get that because I can't see what it's going to look like.
No, is that really
fit? I'm saying me and Rose would ever look at like the same in an outfit.
Hey, you don't do yourself an injustice there, Jay.
Rose is absolutely tiny and tall and model like.
Yeah, I think you're a similar height, you two.
5'4"? At a push?
Maybe not.
I am fine with my pregnancy body. You know, my
You've
body's
got cracking
doing its
pregnancy
thing.
Body.
Our friend.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I do think there is space in that fashion world to kind of embrace.
There is. There is, 100%. Like, I don't know why they don't.
Mm.
Oh, it's a load of nonsense, basically.
But when you were doing your exercise and everything in pregnancy, you were very careful with what you did still.
Oh, yeah. Like, doing exercise in pregnancy right and doing exercise in pregnancy wrong, where you could do serious damage. Yeah. And I worked with a lovely girl who is now a really good friend of mine called Charlie Launder. And she is a personal trainer in pre and postnatal fitness.
Amazing.
Yeah. So she knows exactly what she's talking about. And if ever there was any movement that like was uncomfortable, or she watched my stomach the whole time, if my tummy did anything where it went ever so slightly out of shape, she'd be like, right, stop the exercise right now. That doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
She's great. Yeah, she's doing so well with her business as well. But I'm not surprised because you don't realise how many pregnant women out there do actually want to work out during their pregnancy, especially if that's what they've done before as
well. Yeah, exactly.
And they're used to it. Because you don't want to go from like working out 3 days a week to absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because I think it would probably make you feel worse.
Make you feel a bit depressed.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel like with you as well, I know exercise and making yourself look your best is your job.
Yes.
But I also feel like it's very much for you. I'm sure there is a pressure, but whenever I see you doing that stuff, it feels very much like that is something that you do for you. That is your time.
Totally. And I love it. And the thing is, I think there's pressure in this society to feel like that or do things to make yourself look better. But if ever I felt that pressure, I'd be like, oh, stuff that, whatever it is I'm doing, because that's not making me happy.
Yeah.
If exercise ever doesn't make me happy, I'd stop it. You know, there's certain exercises I don't do because they don't make me happy. I'm like, no, not for me.
Not doing those burpees. Yeah. They make me really unhappy.
I mean, my poor core.
Really?
Oh, anything tummy related is like my legs. Yeah, brilliant.
Have you always been that way or just since having Coops?
No, always been that way. But I do those parts, because otherwise I'd be a bit unbalanced. But but I don't know, your core's very important.
Keeps it all there.
It does. Keeps everything in and up.
Keeps you standing.
It does. Yeah, it does. I think if ever I felt pressure from anything, I'd just not do that.
Yeah.
You don't want to do something that makes you unhappy.
No.
Like, life's too short. You don't know when your last day is, so why spend it doing something that you don't like?
How have you felt about your body since having Cooper and since your body?
Do you know, actually all right. I was quite worried that I might find it difficult once I'd had Cooper. The thing is, in my mind, I knew, well, if I'm not happy with it, I am fully capable of working hard and working out and making my body to look the way I want it to look personally. Mm-hmm. And that might not be for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are like, I'm happy looking the way I look after I've had a baby.
Yeah.
But I think it should be totally, totally acceptable to want to look different after you've had a baby. Mm-hmm. So I want my tummy to go a little bit flatter again. I want my thighs to be a little bit more solid again, because they were like that before. And that's how I like to look. That's how I like to feel. I like to feel a bit tight, which you definitely don't feel after you've had a baby. You're like the opposite of tight, aren't you? Everywhere.
Like a jelly.
Yeah, everything's jelly.
It is. It's that personal thing, isn't it?
And
I think it's that your feelings towards your own body shouldn't, it doesn't reflect anything on how other people feel about theirs. Like, you shouldn't be defensive or attacking on other people who take that time, or, you know, whatever they choose to do. It doesn't matter.
No. And that's what I feel there is a little bit nowadays, that there's no happy medium.
No.
It should just be like whatever you want, like whatever's right for you. That I think someone posted, it was yesterday, I think, something about their house being a mess and that's fine because that's normal. And I was a bit like, I love my house being tidy. I mean, my house is far from tidy at the moment, because when you have a baby, it's like how something that doesn't move or really do a great deal creates this utter carnage. I do not know, especially if Danny's looked after him. I come home and I'm like, wow, something happened. Was there a tornado in the house? And I'm like, I like to clean my house and I feel great satisfaction from getting that cleaning fluid out and giving everywhere a good scrub. And but that should be okay. Should be fine to have a tidy house as well as a dirty house.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes there are certain trends.
Yeah.
So someone will say something and people will be like, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, and then all of a sudden that becomes a thing to do.
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't know why people wear makeup. And it's like, well, I like wearing makeup.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I love putting it on.
Yeah.
I love the way it makes my cheeks shine. My lips look shiny. My eyes look a little bit bigger. I like it.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So let's go back to Coops and the night that he arrived.
Mm.
You were in a pub.
I was, obviously.
Having fish and chips, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I sound like such an alcoholic, don't I? I mean, I wasn't drinking. No, I wasn't drinking. I was just eating a lot. Well, I was due to be induced the next day, which I was really fed up about because...
Were you overdue?
Yeah, I was 9 days overdue. And you know when you get... So basically, I had an early induction booked because Danny was on The Voice. And I was like, we had 3 days to get this baby out before Danny started filming.
Right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have been there for the birth.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is absolutely not okay. And the lovely midwife was like, do you want us to like see if we can fit you in a little bit earlier? And I was like, that would be fabulous, please. Begging you. Anyway, so we were booked in for this induction. The night before, I was like, right, I want to go for a really big meal, a really fancy fish and chips, and loads of mayonnaise and all the trimmings. And then I want to go home. I want to have a bath, shave my legs, wash my hair, because at the time I thought like I'd like nicely done hair for when I was in labour. I mean, now looking back, I'm like, that's ridiculous because the hair went straight into a bun. Straight
get it
into
out of
a,
my
yeah,
face.
Get it out of my face. I'm too hot. I mean, I'd never had a baby, so I was naive. Anyway, so I was like, right, that's my night planned. I'm going to have an early night. And then tomorrow, I'm going to be so energised. I can do this induction. So I'd had my fish and chips. I did manage to eat them all.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, I'm just going to pop to the toilet, then we'll go home. So I popped to the toilet in the pub. And then I came out and I was just washing my hands in the sink. And I just heard this pop. And I've spoken to a few people and they've said, yeah, that they heard
really
their waters popping. I don't know whether it was like an internal sound.
Right.
That almost like came into my head.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
whether
yeah.
I actually did hear it. And then I just felt this warmth. And I was like, oh. So I came running out of the toilet. Danny thought I'd blocked the toilet because I was like giddy and going, we need to leave, we need to leave.
Something amazing's happened.
Yeah.
Danny's like, have you done a big
poo? Have you done a big poo? Is that what's happened? And I was like, no. I was like, we need to leave, my waters are broken. And like I skipped home. Well, not skipped, I like shuffled home. And Danny said to me, why are you walking funny? I was like, because the baby's coming and I feel like I've wet myself. That's why. Anyway, so I skipped, shuffled home.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got through that front door, bearing in mind the pub, obviously, is like 5 minutes from our house. Yeah. By the time I stepped through that front door, the contractions had started.
Right.
And pretty intensely. So I was like, oh, what do we do? Anyway, so we rang, because you just panic. I was like, oh, do we go to hospital? What do we do?
The people have told us about this, but I can't remember anything.
We know what we're meant to do. Anyway, so we rang the hospital. They're like, yeah, come in, because obviously your waters are broken. They've got to check baby's not done a poo inside you or anything like that. So we got to the hospital. I mean, I did not realise they rang out your sanitary towel to check what your waters look like. She was like, can I have your sanitary towel? I was like, no.
What a weird thing to ask.
No, you want to give anyone my sanitary towel. I mean, it's been a long time since I've ever worn a sanitary towel, so this in itself is weird.
Yeah.
She rang that out and obviously, yep, there your waters. And she was trying to talk to me and these contractions were pretty intense at this point. And she's like, yeah, go home, have a bath.
Really?
Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, really? Are you sure? But because they say you shouldn't be able to talk through your contraction if they're kind of, you know, at that level.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. And they were quite close.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we did what she said and went home. As soon as I got through that front door, they like went to a whole nother level so rapidly. So we went upstairs. Annoyingly, so we live in a little terrace house, but with three floors. Bath is on the very top floor. So I had to make my way up three flights of very steep stairs during really strong contractions to get to this blooming bath. So anyway, I got up, got in the bath and spent pretty much my entire labour in that bath. Yeah. But I just kept wanting to poo. And I kept getting out of the bath, sitting on the toilet. I mean, like I pooed once, but the rest of the time I was on the toilet trying to poo, but nothing was coming out. Little did I know I was pushing Cooper out. It was Cooper's head. So I kept trying to poo. I was like, I just need to poo. Danny rang the hospital again. He was like, I know you said like it's going to be a long time, but she's in a lot of pain and like the contractions are quite close together now. This was like 3 hours in from waters breaking. And the midwife's like, put her on the phone. So she put me on the phone. And she didn't tell me then, but she said she knew when she heard me that I was pushing.
Oh, really?
She knew it wasn't a contraction noise. Yeah. She knew it was a pushing noise because I'd started doing that mooing thing they tell you about. And I was like, mooing? I'm not going to moo during my labour. I don't know what you mean.
I'm a lady.
And I was like, ugh. Anyway, so the whole way to hospital, I mean, it took me about, seemed like a lifetime to get out of that house because every time I had a contraction, I just had to get on my hands and knees, pause, and then go again. But getting to the car, I got as far as the middle of the road and a contraction came. I had to get on my hands and knees in the middle of the road, of our quiet little road, going, and a car came around the corner. So, I mean, and it was a Friday night. So everyone was like, oh.
That Georgia Jones is back again.
There she is again. Thank God.
There she is, moving like normal.
I know. It's just a normal Friday night for me. But anyway, and then I was like, no, I need to poo again. So I had to go back into the house, sit on the toilet again. But the more and more I did this, the more lower Cooper was getting because I was pushing him out.
Yeah.
So then I got into the car and I have never clamped onto my vagina so tight. I was literally holding him in.
But actually physically
holding him in.
Oh my gosh, Georgia.
Physically holding him. And when we got to that hospital, Danny got a wheelchair and I had one leg up on the arm of the wheelchair with my hands firmly clamped still.
Oh my gosh.
Thank God it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so the hospital wasn't busy.
All the drunks were like, I'm pretty sure I just saw...
Yeah, a woman holding a poop.
Yeah. It's like a poop is falling out.
I know, it pretty much was. And I was like, if I don't hold down there, he's going to come out. So we got in, we got up, and that was like a comedy sketch in itself because every single door opened a different way, inwards, outwards, sideways. It was like, bless Danny, trying to steer this wheelchair, this wonky wheelchair through all these doors. Anyway, we got there and they were filling up the bath because they knew I wanted to get in the pool.
Yeah.
And the bath hadn't even filled up by the time Cooper was here.
No.
Yeah, so 37 minutes from me getting into that hospital to Cooper being there.
Were they like, oh...
Yeah, they're like, oh, wow. Because they were like, Georgia, you need to get on your back. We need to examine you. I was like, no, he's coming. And then, do you know, I walked into that room and just stripped completely naked.
It's so funny. Buddy was like very intense and quick like that. And I was just naked.
Just naked?
Yeah.
Because I remember having a whole conversation about what do you wear during your labour? Would a nightie suffice? Because obviously then you've got your bits out for easy access. Nothing. Naked.
I think sometimes that is best.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and what was it like when you met Coops?
Oh, it was just amazing. It was just surreal. Yeah. I was just like, who are you? You're just this tiny little person that I've known, but not known at all. And you've just come into the world in such a flurry. I kind of hadn't prepared myself for it because it was so fast.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is it now, forever. You are mine forever now. And it's just the weirdest thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I actually, if I'm being 100% honest, my love grew for him. It wasn't full on, oh my God, I am so madly in love with you. Like, I can't imagine my life without you. This is just all I've been waiting for my entire life. And I've always wanted babies.
Yeah.
But I was just a bit like, just took me a while to get to know him.
There are a lot of people on the podcast have said that.
Have they?
Yeah, and I think it's something that we don't talk about. We're told about that instant love, that instant bond. And actually, it's such an overwhelming moment.
Yeah.
That there are so many different emotions going on. But I think you focus so much on the birth and giving birth that you know, and there's so much expectation on that moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of people will say it.
Mm.
And I think it is something that needs to be talked about a lot.
It is, because I think what it is when you talk to someone like, and they're like, oh God, are you excited about having your baby? Especially people that have children.
Yeah.
And they always go, oh God, the love you feel for that little baby is just, you've never felt anything like it before. So I think you feel like you have to feel like that.
Yeah.
God, if I don't feel like that, then that's weird. Yeah. That's like not normal. But yeah, no, I didn't. Instantly. And I don't think Danny did either. I mean, Danny was just like an emotional wreck. Every time he
was looked, he crying?
Oh my God. Every time he... I mean, Danny cried a lot. Every time I looked at... He looked at him, he cried.
Aww.
Like, it would literally be that often. I think with Danny, it was when Cooper actually started responding and doing things. Mm. So, like, smiling or kind of responding to our voices. That's when Danny formed his real bond with Coops.
So what was that first week like at home?
Well, it was hectic because we had all the family here, didn't we?
Oh my gosh, of course.
Yeah.
The joys of being both Northerners living down here.
Yeah, I mean, we had a rule that nobody actually stayed at our house.
Nice.
So all the family came from the north, so mine and Danny's, but they stayed in hotels or with friends just so we were, you know.
You had your together. Time as well.
But then straight after we had him, Danny had to go to work, so that was difficult because I probably did too much in the beginning. But I did need to start doing stuff pretty soon after because for my sanity, I needed just a little bit of me still.
But you were doing like TV, like,
I know,
within weeks.
Yeah, I know. I'm stupid.
I was like, Georgia, what are you doing?
I know.
But I think there are certain times where, like, maybe opportunities arise and you're just like, look, this is now.
Yeah.
And actually, that's an hour.
Yeah. And as well, like, there was a lot of help involved. So it wasn't like, right, you need to get here at this time and that's that. So say, like, when I was on TV, it's like, right, we'll sort of sort a car for you and someone can come with you. And,
yeah.
And it was all very nicely done. Everyone was so helpful. So I didn't feel alone. I felt very much surrounded by people that were helping.
But I know that you weren't sleeping.
No, I wasn't.
You must look back at it and it must just be all a blur.
Absolute blur. And my boobs were engorged. I was in pain and I was like, no sleep. Because I was doing all the feeding.
Yeah.
And Cooper was a hungry boy.
Yeah.
So up until 4 months, he was feeding every 2 hours throughout the night, throughout the day. It was just so much on my body.
Yeah.
I think physically and mentally, because knowing that you're the only person that can soothe him.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot for you to be like, God, that is all on me. Because he wasn't taking a bottle at that point. Mm. He wouldn't take one. He refused. So it was like, I literally am your sole
provider.
You two
had quite a tough journey.
Oh, that was hard. I felt so bad for Danny then because he wanted that bond with Cooper. Like, he, you know, that was his one time where him and Coops could have like a little moment together. But it went from bad to worse. And those moments were probably the most stressful moments of those first 4 months.
Well, it's hard, isn't it? Because you kind of want to go, oh, let's just take over. And, and then actually are you helping? Are you not helping?
I know.
Like, it's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I said to Danny, I was like, what do you want me to do in this situation? Do you want me to give you like 10 minutes and then if he's screaming the house down still, come and give him boob? Or like, do you want to persist? Anyway, he wanted to persist because he knew, like, with all the things we'd read, the key thing that we kept reading was persistence is key. Majority of the time, the only thing that will get them to eventually take a bottle is just keeping at it, as awful as it is. And it was so awful. It got to the point where I went and got in the shower because when I was in the shower, I couldn't hear Cooper crying. Oh. And also, my boobs were obviously going mental upstairs because it was going, milk, milk, milk. I was like, stop, he's having a bottle. And like, I was like, should I leave the house because he can smell me?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to leave the house at 7 o'clock at night. I'm comfy. I'm in my pyjamas.
Yeah.
So I'd go get in the shower, which helped me anyway.
Yeah.
That was probably the most testing part of the first few months.
Breastfeeding is like sleep. That's all really hard.
The whole process is difficult. Like, I don't think when you're like at your antenatal groups or NCT or friends talk to you about it, suppose nobody wants to be negative because they don't want to like make you worried about having a baby. So I get why people don't tell you these things because I'm not sure I would have wanted to hear it's blooming hard because I'd have been like, oh, I've just been speaking to John Smith and he's just told me how hard it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking to him again because he's just really put a downer on this whole pregnancy thing.
Yeah.
And you do, that's how you feel. But then afterwards you're like, God, I wish someone had told me.
But I think maybe people don't talk sometimes because they feel like if they say anything negative about their child or about their bond or about their experience, that they're kind of, they don't deserve it.
Or they're a bad parent. Yeah. I know. Well, I think that's the hard thing is that, like, I've been very honest with like...
Well, now you've started Bump, so you've got a series called Bump where you talk very honestly about...
Yeah. But you feel like it's important. Although I was worried when I started Bump, I was going to get a bit of a backlash from people who haven't found it easy or can't have babies saying, well, you're lucky. You should appreciate what you've got. And I do every single day. Like, I am so thankful for having a gorgeous, healthy little boy. But doesn't mean that things aren't hard. And it doesn't mean that you don't have really down days or days where you think I made a mistake. I mean, I don't really think that anymore. But in the beginning, when your hormones
are
absolutely mental,
for
no reason, you're just crying and down, and you think, God, is this going to be my life? You can't see like an end. You're like, God, I'm going to be like this forever now.
But it's better for everyone's mental health to know that they're not the only ones feeling that.
Yeah.
Like, I would say a lot of people, I know I did, I had that feeling of, can I send him back?
Yeah. Yeah.
The answer is obviously no.
Yeah. Can I stop this, please?
Yeah. It's overwhelming on every level.
Yeah.
Your hormones, your body, you've got this new being to look after. Yeah. Your life has completely changed.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And all that baby can do is cry.
Yeah. That's the only way they can let you know what's wrong.
Yeah.
And then, God forbid, if there's anything like not going quite right with the baby in the beginning, that then adds another. Like, this is so small, but Cooper, so when he was first born, I put him in these nappies because I thought I was doing the right thing. So I put him in these really eco-friendly nappies that were amazing for the environment, brilliant. Not amazing for my son's poor little testicles.
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, he was just, because they were so, nowhere near as absorbent as the ones he's now in. He was just sat with on his thin skin, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they were so red raw, they bled.
Ooh.
And obviously, he hated his nappy being changed.
Yeah.
And we had to change it so often because we couldn't have him sat in any of his wee. Whereas now, I'm like, oh, God, it's mother neglect. He's gained a pound. His nappy's so full. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot. He's fine.
Subsequent children are like that from the start, I tell you.
I know, God. It's like, this is neglect right here.
What has been the biggest challenge of becoming a mum?
I would probably say my life changing and me in the beginning losing my identity a little bit. That was tough because I've always been so incredibly independent, always.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, you know, I have weeks away from Danny, which is great. Like, I feel like it keeps our relationship really fresh. And like, sometimes if Danny's annoying me, I'll just go back up north and make him miss me a little bit.
Any time you're up north now, no one sees you on Instagram.
Yeah, like,
there we go.
I mean, we don't really argue a great deal. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, I think you may have been around me a bit too much. You maybe need to miss me a little bit. So I'm going to go see mum and dad for a few days. You know, and I've always, like, my job involves me trekking around London, going to all these random places, meeting new people every single day. And I went from that to me sat at home, feeling scared to leave the house. And I have never, ever felt scared to leave the house. But it was new to me and I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know what would happen with Cooper if I left the house. And I actually became quite an anxious person and quite nervous about things.
What was it that was making you nervous?
I think what would happen if I left the house and Cooper cried, what would I do? And now I'm like, well, if he cries and, you know.
Do you reckon it's fear of being judged by others?
Potentially, yeah. And especially as a new mum, because you actually don't know what you're doing.
No.
You don't really still know how to pick up your own child. You don't know necessarily how to soothe them. You're not that confident of getting them on the nipple in public.
Yeah.
They thrash about, don't they, when you try and get them on your boob and expose you. And because of my job, I spend a lot of time whipping my clothes off in front of people anyway. So I've never been one to be worried about getting my boobs out in public. I was more conscious of other people feeling uncomfortable, especially men, because they don't know where to look, bless them. Totally understandable. If a man got their nipples out, I don't think I'd know where to look.
I had a time when I was with Buddy. So first time around with Buzz, I don't think I ever really fed in front of anyone else.
No.
I would go out the room or whatever. And the second time out with Buddy, we were with the Willises in a restaurant and I was like, I'll just feed. And it was really early days. And you know, when they're quite engorged and it's a bit slip and slide anyway. Anyway, I'd put a Buddy on and it'd come off and then milk just squirted across the table.
Oh, no!
He completely did not. He was completely oblivious. But you know, and you're just like, oh my God,
mortified.
I just squirted a male friend with milk.
That's brilliant. I know, but it's great stories to tell them when they're older, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It's character building.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. But yeah, it's funny how as time goes on, you find yourself just going, oh, just get them out.
Because you kind of just want an easy life at the end of the day, don't you?
Yeah.
And I had some good chats with my sister and my mum. And I remember saying to Lauren, so I started off by just doing like a 5-minute walk to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I'd get my coffee in a takeaway cup so that if I needed to leave, I could leave straight away. And I knew it was only 5 minutes back. But even that 5 minutes, if Cooper cried for those 5 minutes, I'd be so worried that he wasn't going to be okay, because they always said, don't leave them to cry.
Mm.
So I was like, how long is too long that he's crying for? Now, I mean, I'm just like, oh,
you're not really crying. That's not a real cry.
Tough love.
Yeah.
Do better than that, Cooper.
I know. Come on. Put some effort in. I need to see tears.
Oh, now we see tears with Buzz. They're complete crocodile tears.
Oh, have
yeah,
they?
Yeah. You're just like, come on.
So you might have an actor on your hands then.
Oh, he's definitely got a little bit of an entertainer in him.
Well,
definitely.
I mean, obviously, his parents.
Do you think that it was literally just time that kind of changed that feeling?
Yeah, time. And sorry, I was saying I talked to my mum and my sister, and I'd said to my sister, I want to walk into town, which was like, you know, like a 20-minute walk. But what if, along the way, Cooper needs feeding? What do I do? And Lauren went, well, you stop and you feed him. Even if you sit on a wall, or you sit on a bench, or you sit on, like, find a bit of grass somewhere, you just sit down and you feed him. And when she said that to me, I was like, yeah, of course, that's like... But you don't think rationally.
You don't.
Someone said to me the other day, I was like, oh, it's so annoying because when I go and do my shop, because I've got Cooper with me, I can only buy a certain amount of stuff. And someone went to me, well, why don't you do an online shop? And I was like, oh, well, that's a good point. I mean, your mum brain. I mean, when does this stop? Because mine is in full swing.
Well, how do I stop going to the shops every day? I need a solution.
How could I not think? I think I'm just a bit stupid. I think I was like this before. It's just ramped up another level.
We wrap up every episode, because we're at the end.
Oh.
We wrap up every episode with you finishing three sentences.
Oh, okay.
It's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Being a mum means?
The world.
Aww. Nice and short, I like it.
Oh, I meant to say more.
No, it's a sentence, and that is a sentence.
Okay.
Yeah. Since becoming a mum, I...
have learnt that it's okay not to be okay sometimes.
I'm happy when?
I have everyone I love around me and everyone's happy and healthy and safe.
Aww.
That's what I pray every night, for everyone to be happy, healthy and safe.
Oh. Well, thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I have mega lolled, as the kids say nowadays.
Same. My eyes have just been streaming the whole way through.
Through laughter.
Yeah. That's it.
Thank you.